Whether it's because of hail, high winds, or the damage done by time, every house needs a new roof once in a while. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, will be here today. Many homeowners in northeastern Iowa had their roofs pummeled by large hailstones yesterday. Today, while a lot of people are doing damage assessment, we'll talk about your roof. How do you know when you need a new one? How do you decide what kind of roof to get? We'll also find out why color is more than just an aesthetic concern. And, of course, Bill will answer your questions about your home improvement projects. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. We had reports of hail yesterday reaching 1 to 2 inches in diameter in a few different spots in Iowa. And while many of the people in those hailstorms probably immediately thought about their cars, it made us think about their roofs. And home improvement expert Bill McAnally is here today with those thoughts in his mind. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Charity.
And of course, you don't need a hailstorm to have to think about your roof. But how do you know? What do you see? What can you see on your roof that makes you think it's time to make that investment?
As far as hail damage?
Hail damage or just weathering things over time. So first start with hail damage. Okay. What are you looking for?
Well, what you're looking for a lot of times is just little chunks of shingles, hanging off of each tab. You might see some tears. You might see whole parts of a shingle, because shingles, asphalt shingles and fiberglass shingles, are basically made of three different tabs. That's why they call them a three tab normally. The older ones are that way. And so you may lose like one section of a shingle when it's hit, in the right place, especially when it's cool. They're a little bit more brittle. And really, some of the hailstorms we've had, the roof may not have been as warm as sometimes it is during the summers. And so they are a little bit cooler, a little bit more brittle. And you can also see sometimes some indentations, and that's when it's really bad. Is when you can.
It's pretty clear then.
It's pretty clear then, yeah. But if we're going, sounds like we're going to get another period of rain. What'd be kind of nice to do right now is if you just kind of want to see if you had very much granular damage on asphalt shingles. The granules are just kind of embedded into the asphalt product, and they get loosened up from hail, even smaller hail. So maybe where your downspouts, your gutters lead into your downspouts, where that water comes out, take a look and maybe clean that area right now. And as the water comes off in these next rain events, see how much of that granule has been loosened and you've lost. Because really, that's what you're losing. You're losing years. That's the thing about in Iowa, Me personally, I've never saw the value of buying anything more than like a 30-year shingle. And that's because we seem to have these events, of hail damage that you're going to end up getting them replaced anyway. You're kind of playing the odds. And in Iowa, not very many people actually will get 30 years out of a shingle because of hail damage or wind damage and other storm damage. So And we are starting to see, a little bit better products. They've gone away from, say, three-tab shingles to more of an architectural shingle. And it looks a little heavier, kind of has that fake wood shake look to it to make everybody's eye appeal better, I guess. And they seem to hold up a little bit better because they're a little thicker in some spots. But we're starting to see some, especially as you drive down through the country and in towns, you're starting to see a little bit more steel. And I think there's kind of a movement towards steel for a couple of reasons. You put that on, and it's going to take one heck of a hailstorm to cause damage enough to replace a steel roof. The colors and the looks of the new steel roofs are really attractive to a greater amount of people, I guess. Now, too, everybody always thought a steel roof is going to look just like my pole barn that right. The neighbors got. But it's not anymore, and they have so many options. And so when you're out there looking and you have an insurance adjuster come out, probably, to take a look at your roof, that may be something you want to think about Is this a time, do I want to make just a one-time investment? Sure, it's going to cost you more money, and we can get into that later. But
you may not have to replace your roof then in the
future.
Yeah,
I know on my house, when my shingles are done, the son-in-laws are going to be putting a steel roof on, and I'm going to be in the backyard in a chair.
You know, it's kind of an interesting observation that when I lived in Michigan for 10 years, I don't think I ever saw a steel roof in Michigan, except maybe on a pole barn.
Yeah.
But in Iowa, this really does seem to be a growing trend. And maybe it's because there have been so many barns with steel roofs for so long that people actually understand, you know, this is a roof that's going to hold up. But they really have gotten more aesthetically pleasing.
They have. And, you know, and some of them, some of the brands make a very good shingle or shake, I should say, replica. So when you're going down the road, if I was to tell you that was a steel roof, a lot of people would start arguing with, no, those are shingles or those are wood shakes. You know, they've come a long ways. Of course, those are a little bit higher price.
I was going to say,
are
the fancier steel roofs, are they as durable as the planer ones?
Well, I think they are. The ones that we used, just one brand was a Decra. It's an architectural type steel. Looks like heavy shingles. And we did this when I was still at Iowa Central. And when we were putting those on this house, it was a steep pitch, a 45-degree pitch. And they came and they're roughly 18 inches tall, 4 feet long panels. And oh my gosh, I mean, when they came, first of all, I was mad because, you know, when you layer steel together, it doesn't add up to a whole lot like shingles. So I'm thinking, for that many thousands of dollars, that's all I got. But then when you start spreading them out and you start putting it down and you see how good it looks, and then you think, well, how tough are these? So we took them out into the driveway and ran over them with a backhoe, you know, just to see,
Of course you did, Bill.
Yeah, you know, it's a backhoe test for a roof. You know, that's real common. But we were able to see.
Is there a backhoe rating on roofs?
It's way down in the print. But we couldn't get those granules to come off because they're epoxied on. It's not like you're just sitting in asphalt and, oh my gosh, you know, they had a 50-year warranty, and I don't know. I think they just said 50 because nobody'd believe them if they said 100.
Interesting.
But all the fittings, the metal, that's the key thing, too, is like when we put on roofs, there's the roof itself, but then there's all the metal edgings and everything that seem to add up in the price. But the metal on steel roofs, especially on the, you know, all the trim pieces and that, on a good quality roof like that, it was amazing how heavy of gauge it was. I mean, it was a nightmare trying to use hand tools to cut some of the pieces. So, you know, you're buying some real quality and some longevity there.
Well, you mentioned the and we'll talk more about steel roofs in a moment, but you mentioned that asphalt shingles have gotten better and more durable in some ways too. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking for new shingles, what do you need to be thinking about if that's the direction you decide to go?
Well, you know, you want to look at, of course, you don't want to go with the cheapest shingle. You do want to get something maybe on the 20 to 30 year. You want to look, I think you should look for something like it's an architectural. That really doesn't.
What does that mean?
Architecture, when you look up at the roof, you don't see those lines. They're called gullets. So when you would, in the old days, we would offset 6 inches on shingles. And so you'd be looking up in a lot of houses and you'd see this gullet, this little groove every foot. And to tell how good anybody was, we'd always get down on the ground and eyeball it to see how straight they were.
And then you take the backhoe.
Didn't hold up very well with that. But the architecturals don't have that, and they really don't have a pattern to them. And that's what's kind of nice about them. They look heavy. You have shadows. You have different color schemes and different blends. And they fit very well into neighborhoods, especially if they have covenants on different types of, colors that they want. But they're usually a heavier shingle. And if there's any flaws in application, which they're usually or just maybe just a few minor ones, they don't show up as much. And insurance companies, the nice thing is a lot of times the insurance companies actually prefer you to get that because it's a little faster to put up than three tabs. So, but you know, you really want to do your research. The better shingles now are really fiberglass. We still call them asphalt shingles, but they're more of an asphalt and fiberglass combination. They have a fiberglass mat and they hold up better.
All right. Now, speaking of price, of course, a lot of what you're paying for is labor. And
right.
some roofs get put on over existing roofs, mm-hmm. and sometimes the roofing material gets removed first. How do you decide?
Well, if you're in most of the communities in Iowa that have a building inspector, they'll make the decision for you. You really shouldn't shingle over previous layers. We did it all the times. You know, I think the record I heard was a guy that he tore off like 7 layers. I'm thinking, how in the world could that house hold all that weight up? But, you know, really, by shingling over a previous layer, you're not, you know, let's say you buy a 30-year shingle. There's no way you'll get 30 years because the faults that you have underneath are going to kind of mirror and come right back up into the layer up above. It's not worth it. The nice thing to do, too, is if you do strip that shingle and felt paper off, now you can go and see if there's any wood damage. And the way we built in the 70s and 80s, a lot of times we weren't following the best building practices. We were doing the best we could, but we weren't. And so a lot of times that first foot, maybe 2 feet of the roof along the bottom, will probably have to be replaced because water would, you know, especially on shallower pitches, shallower, you know, slopes on the roofs, the water would come up from the gutter and then rot the sheeting out underneath it. So
even if you're putting on a steel roof, you should remove the roofing material that's already there?
Yeah. You know, a lot of the steel roofs say that's okay. You can just, you know, put just little small strips of 2x4 across like every couple feet and put the new steel roof over the asphalt. But to do a really good quality job, you know, to have a nice smooth roof, it's just better to strip it down and start from there. The nice thing, too, is if you do strip it down, let's say, okay, here's the chance. If you did want to put skylights in, if you did want to do light tubes, if you wanted to add insulation in the attic, now's the time to do it instead of running the hose through, you know, the house and getting everything dusty. There's a lot of, you know, good things to opening that roof up and seeing if there's any issues going. You may find some damaged rafters. You might also determine this is a good time to redo my soffits and overhangs.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here in a second, but I want to start talking about color as well, because there are so many color choices and some really cool-looking roofs mm-hmm. that you can put on. But we're learning that the lighter the color, the better for your bottom line, right?
It depends. Yeah, it depends. That's a good point. Let's talk about that.
Okay, well, we're not going to stop talking yet.
Oh, well, I thought you were just kind of telling me, yeah, just shut up. Time to be quiet. You're being real nice to me today.
Give me 30 seconds on it, Bill.
It really depends. The lighter the shingle or the lighter the metal roofing, you may qualify for some Department of Energy tax credits. It's not – and that's – you have to remember it's a tax credit. You know, they're not just going to go ahead and send you a check. You can get up to $500 on the materials if it qualifies. And so when you're looking at your roofing materials, ask – you know, the supplier, will this qualify for the Department of Energy energy credits?
All right. We will take a short break. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about the color of your roof and why you might want to think about that beyond the aesthetics. And, of course, we'll be taking your questions as well. Give us a call at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guest today is our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me today, our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, and we'll be taking your calls in just a moment at 866-780-9100. But I want to talk a little bit more about color of roofs because, Bill, you mentioned that if you get a lighter colored roof, white or light gray mm-hmm. or, you know, something in that spectrum, you can possibly receive a tax credit. But beyond that, I mean, why? Why do you get a tax credit for that? And what might that mean for your heating and cooling bills?
That's why I was kind of earlier thinking, well, it kind of depends. Because in Iowa, you know, it depends who you talk to. Let's just put it that way. Because in the middle of the winter, if I have a dark roof and I don't have a whole lot of insulation in my attic or maybe it's inadequate, if I have a dark roof and the sun comes out, you've got a solar collector and it kind of warms up your attic a little bit. And so I've had some people argue with me, said, you know what, I like a dark roof because we're a heating climate. And actually we are. But I'm thinking, well, there's, you know, I don't know how you really want to play that or not, but In the cooling season, the lighter the shingle, you know, your attic is going to stay quite a bit cooler. There's a couple studies, you know, the people that do a lot of studies on this are usually down south, like Florida Energy Center. Some of their temperature gauges records show that, you know, 20 to 25 degree difference even between an asphalt roof and a metal roof, even when they're the same color, because asphalt's got so much more mass to it.
Interesting.
But when it's a lighter color, it can be up to 100 degrees. You know, it just because it can get awful steamy up there. So,
well, and I have a heater in my home, but I don't have air conditioning. So that sounds really appealing
yes.
to me.
But the thing is, we're Iowans, and how many, you know, white shingle roofs do we see anymore? The only ones that we see are the ones that are still left over from the ones with the ranch houses we were building in the 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, we put on white, we put on gray. And I can still remember when somebody started putting on black, and I was like, oh, man, no, that's horrible, especially when you had to do it on a hot day. I mean, how dumb was that? But, you know, we just don't like that for the curb appeal.
That's interesting. Well,
it is.
You know, but, of course, we thought we'd never see steel roofs on houses either.
So. No, and we are seeing a lot more of them. But a lot of it just comes down to what, you know, it's amazing how our decisions are made by what we think we like as far as appearances.
Right. And if you're going to sell your home, what you think the next buyer will
that's
as
it.
Well.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right. Let's get to the phones. And Bill is on the line first in Davenport. Hello, Bill.
Davenport. Yes. I had an anecdotal story. My grandparents in southwestern Wisconsin, put on a steel roof in 1913. And I think it lasted 80 or 90 years.
Wow.
It didn't look like shingles.
The other question I
had was, we roofed a house in 1973 here in Davenport, and we, of course, shoveled off all the old shingles, and then we put down 3/4-inch marine plywood.
Wow.
And then nailed the, I don't know, whether fiberglass or just plain asphalt roofing.
Yeah.
Shingles on it. So I just wondered, how's that practice? You know, the sheeting was up there where you nailed the cedar roof to the sheeting, and there were, you know, maybe inch gaps between
the planks,
and here you're putting a solid 3/4-inch plywood.
Right.
Is this a good practice?
Well, that's why it's two different systems. These older cedar shake roofs, the reason was one thing, it was an older growth cedar, where now the ones we buy are from an old growth tree, so they don't have that ability to withstand decay as well as the older shingles did. But the real issue is, you know, the point you just made is there's gaps in the wood, so they could breathe, they could dry out from underneath. Our attics in the older buildings and older homes were very leaky. You know, you could stand at night in the attic, look out and see all the stars. I mean, they were leaky, but mm-hmm. yet when the water landed on the shingles, they would you know, absorb a little bit, and then they would start shedding water, and then they would dry. When plywood came out, all we really had to do, since there wasn't any gaps, is put down felt paper, and then in the 70s, those were asphalt shingles, and that system today still works very well. But we did learn that you just don't cross the two. There was a period of time where we as an industry would put cedar shakes down on top of felt paper, on top of like plywood or oriented strand board sheeting, and there was no drying layer underneath there. And, you know, these poor cedar shakes, some of them would only last 10, 15 years, and they'd have to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized, okay, we need to mirror what we had before. So what we've done is put something like, it's a product called, one of them is called Cedar Breather. It's a kind of a plastic mesh that holds the cedar shakes up off of the sheeting. And it's actually just kind of replicating what we used to do. And there's air flowing underneath it, and they're going to land a long time. So the people that put cedar last a long time. So if the people are putting cedar shakes on now, you're going to see that, you know, they put a product that will allow that cedar to dry out on the bottom side, just like the old days. And, you know, I doubt if they're going to last 80 or 90 years, but because of the, you know, the type of cedar that we have now, but at least they're going to, you know, last you, you know, to make your investment.
Well, we didn't try to put cedar on top of the plywood.
Boy, putting that marine plywood down, I mean, that was a big upgrade right there. That was pricey stuff.
Anyway, it worked out pretty good for us.
I bet it has.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for your call, Bill. And next up, Misty is on the line. Hi, Misty.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm driving from Kansas City to Boone County and listening to your show. And I had a question because Kansas City has just as much lightning and thunderstorms as Iowa. The metal roofs, I have thought about putting one on our house, but I'm wondering, does this make you more prone to lightning strikes?
No, it doesn't. There again, you'll get somebody that, will say, oh, yes, it does. But, the whole building itself is grounded. I don't believe that you are more susceptible to that. It's kind of funny you say that. Last night I was sitting out watching the storms and looking at a cat sitting on top of my truck, and I'm thinking, boy, how dumb is that cat sitting up there? And I'm thinking that cat's thinking the same thing of me. I'm in an aluminum chair out in the middle of a lightning storm on the ground, out in the middle of nowhere, and who's the smarter one? But no, I wouldn't think so.
And I've actually done a little research on that because in anticipation of your question, Misty, but everything that I've found online just looking at this right now says that it's mainly about topography. So lightning is going to strike the highest thing, but also because metal roofs are not combustible, that even if lightning strikes a metal roof, it's not necessarily going to be a problem.
So don't put a metal cell tower on top of your house.
Well, I guess it depends on how tall the neighbor's cell tower is. Yes, just make yours just a little shorter.
would the metal roof be noisier in storms, especially hailstorms?
Well, they probably would, but that's, I wouldn't think that would really be a concern. The thing is, you already know it's storming and hailing probably anyway, and so it probably would. But the nice thing is that you'll get up in the morning, and the odds of you having to replace it are a lot less. So I would kind of find some comfort in there. But you probably would, but not. It depends again on how insulated your house is.
All right. Well, if you have a metal roof, why don't you let us know if they're a lot louder? Because maybe we don't know the answer to that question exactly. Misty, thanks a lot for your call. And we'll go to Sam on the road, or not in the road, Sam in Fort Dodge next. Hi, Sam.
Oh. Yeah, hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a 1920s home that has a slate roof, and I would like to tin it, but I don't know if I could leave the slate roof on because I'm afraid it's got asbestos and I don't want to move that around. Would that be okay, or do I have to take the slate roof off?
In that particular case, you are from Fort Dodge?
Yeah.
I'd call the building inspector on that particular one because he may have some information that specifically relates to if it has asbestos roof and what he wants to see done with that in that community. Dennis is a really good inspector. He's really up on stuff. So I would get a hold of City Hall and ask Dennis that question. But thing is, if you are, the thing is you're probably going to have to take it off anyway, because when you attach the steel, you're going to be shattering the ones that are there. So he would be able to tell you the best way to have probably that taken off, not to mention you're getting rid of a lot of extra weight that you won't need.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, we're going to go to Brian in Des Moines. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been looking for a product that will cover the PVC pipes that come out of the roof for vents. Is there any cover, or do you have any suggestions of some way to disguise that with the rest of the roof?
You mean as the same color, or?
Yeah, or just to match the roof shingles, just to eliminate the big white PVC pipes that are coming out of the roof.
Oh, I just painted mine. I painted mine exactly the same.
Did?
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out
have
really good. I just
kind of,
you can buy covers, but I just painted it. Every once in a while I get up on the roof when nobody's looking, and I'll kind of look things over to see if I've had any damage. And I just hopped up there and kind of rough sanded it and painted it. I found a color that matched, and it held very well.
Okay.
But you do want to tell them that they do make – it's kind of an expansive type paint. They make them for vinyl siding as well. And so I put this on there so that it would expand and contract, and it wasn't going to flake off. Okay. And it masks really well, but there are covers, and all I would do is just get online and I would just Google vent pipe covers, residential or home vent pipe covers. I've seen them before because some of them are kind of cool. They have a decorative base on them, and they come down and tuck into the existing shingles, and there's no screws or anything to mess up your roof, and the ones that I saw had kind of a rubber base on it. So I know they're out there, but I would just paint it. It's a lot cheaper.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we've been talking about roofs all hour, but of course you can call in with your other home improvement questions as well. If you're recovering from a flooded basement, I'm sure Bill would be happy to help you out with that. 866-780-9100 or talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we just heard via Facebook from a listener in Madagascar today who says that they have a metal roof and it's very loud in the rainy season. Yes. Of course, this April has been a lot like a rainy season.
Yes. Madagascar, Iowa or Madagascar?
No.
Oh.
So there's a testimonial for
okay.
you. This is an email from Tom. I'm in the process of putting a steel roof on my house. I'm looking at Decra, Metro, and Girard products. The Metro Shake has an air level between decking and steel without battens. It has exposed screws. Girard has shingles without air or batten and shakes that require a batten to create air layer. Are you following, Bill?
Yep,
I'm
so
not.
Far.
Okay. I think nails and screws are not exposed. What are the benefits and possible problems of each?
I would not want anything exposed on that metal roof. I'm familiar with the Decra and the Girard, mostly the Decra. I was very, very happy on how that went on. Really, nothing's exposed, except on the very bottom is where, you know, you have to make – There is an exposure there that holds sometimes the shingles in place. But the big key, especially on those metal roofs, though, is the underlayment, is whether it's a heavy felt or whether if you're going with an adhesive membrane type of like an ice and water shield underneath that metal roof. And then you also need to understand on most of the, especially the shingle types, is that once you get out into a lower pitch, which is like a 312 pitch, which is 3 inches of rise for every foot, that if you really look close in directions, it says now it's decorative. And that term decorative for roof just scares the heck out of me because I'm thinking, I don't need decorative. I need something to hold water out. So that's a lot of times the big key is you have to remember that what the capacity of any type of roof that it is. You know, it's the same thing as with vinyl siding and steel siding. Wood siding, really it's a cladding, it's a cover. If you don't have something underneath it to help shed the water will get past the siding eventually and it'll get into what's behind it. So you really want to pay a lot of attention to the prep work. And the steel is what you're going to see, that's great, but the prep work underneath it is to me, a little bit even more important.
All right, let's try to get in another call at least before the break. This is Susan on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I have an attached garage to the house that several years ago was turned into a sunroom. The roof slopes to the east. When the contractor made the change, he put on, I believe, a commercial-grade black rubber roof. You do not see the roof from any point if you're on the ground, okay?
Okay.
Can I, given black absorbs heat, can one make a retrofit to that without, I mean, what would you do to lighten it up a bit in terms of color? Can you paint over that, or do I need to get white rubber to attach to it, or what would you do?
You know, that's a good question. Well, I think, how long has it been up there?
Been on the roof since 1998, and it has held up beautifully.
Well, you know,
no one sees it at all.
Maybe
so
now
it's not an aesthetic
okay.
situation.
Well, I think, you know what? I think I just put a new rubber, a white one over the top of it. And then, because, you know, a lot of times they'll sell things that you can paint and cover and, mm-hmm. You know, because rubber, especially when it gets wet, you're going to have expansion and contraction. It's hard to make anything stay. So since it's already good, you know, you can just lay another white one over the top, have a person that's familiar with putting the rubber roofs down. And because the nice thing is you just have, you know, fasteners usually around the edges. And even if they do have to put, because I don't know the application here, a person that knows how to do this commercially, they're very mm-hmm. well versed at attaching in the middle even to hold this down. That's what I would do, and that would really cut down that heating.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Really appreciate it.
All right, Susan, thanks for your call. And we'll squeeze Sandy in here before the break. Hi, Sandy.
Hello.
Hi. You have a metal roof?
Yes. We've had it about 2 years. We had a hailstorm that destroyed our tile, asphalt roof. And we had a metal roof on our unattached garage, which was just only slightly damaged, and you certainly couldn't see anything.
Great.
And when we put on the metal roof, our insurance company gave us a break. They like the metal roof, and it is very quiet.
Good. Thank you, Sandy.
No noise at all. So,
great. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Sandy. And we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back to answer more of your questions. It can be about your roof, but it can be about any of your home improvement projects as well. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here with us today. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Bill McAnally is here with me today, our home improvement expert, and he's ready to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. And Bill, before we leave the topic of roofs, and of course you can still answer roof questions, but when you are looking for someone to put the new roof on your house, what are some of the special considerations you need to take into account?
Here comes the dark side.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. What you need to do is you really want to make sure that they're licensed, that they're bonded, and get a copy of it. I want a copy of your insurance. I want to make sure it's up to date, who it's with, if it's reputable. I want some references. And you want to make sure some things like, okay, now are you going to be bringing a big roll-off dumpster and putting it on my driveway? Are you going to be driving across my sidewalk? Well, if that's the case, get out there, document any crack, any flaw, anything before it happens. Because by the time you bring a big truck in and you know, depends on your driveway, you could get some serious damage to the sidewalk, the approach and your driveway. You don't know what's going to happen. What about the yard? Are they going to pick up all the nails? Do they put tarps down? Do they put bush, they cover your bushes with sheets? Do they make sure and maybe put tarps over the side of the house too, drape them from the downspouts or the gutters or the overhangs to make sure that if it is windy, the stuff doesn't blow back and maybe chip or damage your windows, scratch your glass. There's all these little things, you know, that you don't really think about. You're thinking about the roof, but everything below it, it's coming off the roof. Well, in that process of coming down, what's the type of damage I might get? What if they, are using skid loaders and load alls, big boom trucks? It's at this time of the year who's gonna fill in the spots in your yard where you might have heavy tracks. Is there a cistern out in the yard? Who's gonna watch the kids to make sure nobody's around? Does your insurance company?
Clearly, you don't want the contractor to watch your children.
And
you have a little cautionary tale about not standing too close to somebody who's throwing shingles?
Yeah, don't ever stand real close because when they're whipping those shingles around, it does stand open the top of your eye up a little bit and stitches and. Yeah, you weren't supposed to bring anything like that up. That was pretty low.
we all benefit from your experience.
Yeah,
Bill.
Sure. So scars, yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim is on the line in Spencer. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi,
yeah.
What's your question?
Well, I was going to talk about roofing, too.
All right, great.
And, I have a nearly flat roof here. It's about 1 in 10 that it drops. Now, I've seen this this new product. It seems to be a laminated fiberglass and tar paper kind of thing. It's very tough. And it's a corrugated type of roof. It's kind of interesting. I think you could walk on it. You could screw it down. It's very dense. It's like I say, it's laminated fiberglass, tar paper, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in these, I think, 2-foot by 8-foot sheets. So with that pitch in mind, is there some way that I could actually use that and maybe seal between the overlapping panels that, you know, would prevent water from getting up underneath it there? Because, you know, 1 in 10 is not exactly what the manufacturer likes to hear when you're talking about putting it on.
Yeah, no, when you get down to anywhere near that type of slope, you try to want to eliminate any possible seams, especially here in Iowa. With our climate so vastly different in the seasons, that I could just see this almost, you'd have to go up almost every couple of weeks and try to, you know, caulk in the edges. I could see that this might be just kind of a nightmare. I think, you know, as technology has improved, we've gotten a little bit complacent on relying on adhesives and membranes and sealants. We think that they're going to last longer than they do. Well, they may last that long, but what they're attached to, you know, there might be some differences in material, so they don't hold together. You know, their expansion and contraction differences. I really wouldn't think that this would work very well in Iowa, especially when you put it underneath snow and you get a little bit of maybe some ice dam problems. I could see this just pushing right back underneath there. Yeah. That would scare me.
All righty.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
All right, yep. Jim. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, let's go to Peter on the line in Mason City. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I want to ask, I have a small workshop. I build guitars, and I have an air quality issue. And I'm wondering, is there an economical way to get fresh air intake, either from the roof or from the side of the building, down into the wood shop to get fresh air in? How do you deal with that in the wintertime? Is there any way besides using expensive air exchangers to try to warm that air up that you know of? Any ideas that you have?
You took it right out of my right out of my mouth. Yeah, about, you know, in your case, because you're really looking at, you've got to keep it consistent, don't you?
Well, I mean, it fills up with a lot of sawdust. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I know, you know, if it's just a smaller area, you know, you may be able to just get a smaller, like HRV or heat recovery ventilator or energy recovery ventilator. I know Venmar makes a small one called Cubix, and it's spelled with a K. They're not that expensive, and they're roughly 2-foot by 2-foot. They use very little electricity. I would do some research into possibly one of those. But
can you explain, sir? Can you explain
yes.
a little bit how that works? It takes, like, let's say in the wintertime when it's
yep.
like, you know, 15 to 10 degrees out.
Sure.
How does that come into and then come up to 70 or 60 degrees?
Well, what it does is there's on the inside there's cores, and you pull air from outside, fresh air from outside, and it goes through the center of this core, and then it transfers the heat energy from the air going out from inside the house, because you're ventilating that room. So the air from inside the house, let's say, is 70. And it's going out, and it transfers its heat energy over to the incoming air. So let's say it's 70, and it's zero outside. So most of them about 80%. So you're looking at about 56 degrees coming in. So then you would that way you're not just bringing cold air in. You know, you're actually ventilating as well. And then, you know, you can control your humidity a little bit too, especially in the winter, because you're bringing drier air in. And in most newer houses, they're usually too moist. But in your situation, especially with guitars, I would really get a hold of the factory, because they usually have some people there on hand that would be able to help you on that. But I would look at an HRV or ERV, and that, like I say, they do make smaller units for, you know, basically like your workshop. They're not the big huge ones all the time like we envision for a whole house.
All right, Peter, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, Sherry is on the line in Anamosa. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, we live in a manufactured home, and we are getting ready to put a roof on this summer. We have kind of trickle damage from it. But I heard you talking about, you know, when you redo a roof, that that's the time to do things like a skylight or something.
Sure.
With manufactured homes, especially in the summertime, they get so hot and the circulation is so bad. Is that a time that we can put in some kind of an exhaust fan into the attic area?
You bet. What you may want to look at is I'm not sure, does your manufactured home have vaulted ceilings on the inside?
Yes. Yes.
So really, you really don't have an attic then?
No.
Okay. So I now I know kind of what kind of ceilings you have. What they can do is in a lot of cases they will put. Let's say they'll strip down the roof that you have down to the roof sheeting, and then they'll put some sleepers or spacers, and then put another layer of sheeting, and then the shingles over the top, because sometimes it's easier to do it that way. That gives a ventilating area between the new roof and the old sheeting on the house.
Okay.
The other nice thing is by doing it that way, they're not so open to, say, a rainstorm or storm coming up and having damage inside the house while they're redoing it. They're basically pulling shingles off, putting a spacer, putting a new plywood sheeting down or OSB sheeting, and then new shingles. Then you have, like I say, a continuous ventilation up above to help, you know, cool the roof. Because what you probably have right now is a lot of them, they call them a hot roof. They're completely insulated. In between those rafters. The other thing you may want to do, too, is a lot of those manufactured homes, I just looked at that from a listener from a couple months ago. She had great cookies. I might want to add, too. She had several can lights in the house.
Okay.
And they tended to leak. In the winter, they get so much condensation, they drip water. If you have anything like that, now's the time to air seal those. They can do those from above. Maybe bathroom vent fans. Now's a good time to have those brought up to speed, or maybe replaced and have those vented out the roof. So there's a lot of advantages, a lot of things you want to take advantage of right now. Really think about it before you get going. You know, what can I put through that roof? You know, maybe I want to put a radon system in. Now would be the time to have that come up through the house and out through the roofs, and so you don't have to patchwork it later. Try to sit down and just write all the things that may go through that roof to improve the quality of your house, and hopefully you'll have all your ducks in a row when they're get ready to go.
All right, Sherry, thanks a lot for your call. And we've got another question from Anamosa. This one's from Mark. I went to a home show last February and talked to a company about gutter covers to keep leaves and debris out of the gutters. What do you think about those, Bill?
Everybody has an opinion on those, but some of them, if it's a light rain, they work fine because you've got you're using surface tension. If it's a heavy rain, surface tension, which is when the water, you know, basically holds to the metal and collects down into the gutter, it works fine. Maybe I keep my opinion to myself, I guess, sometimes.
I don't think you ever keep your opinions
to
yourself.
Well, anyway... You really got me on this one. But me personally, I don't really care for them too well. But, you know, and that's going to tick some people off. But I really don't care for them for the amount of money. You know, I think you can clean your gutters every once in a while. And I'd rather catch a lot of water when we have big rainstorms and get it away from the house. I don't want, when it heavy rains, I want to get as much as I can directed away from the house to keep the basement dry. And I don't think when you have a 4-inch wide gutter and then all you'll have left is a 1/2-inch hole and a space along there that you're going to get the amount of water that you need to in those drastic rain events. Otherwise, yeah, great.
All right. This one's from Steven.
I'm going to get in trouble
page.
Over that one, I bet.
He says, I'm missing a few soffit panels near the roof peak on my 2-story house. So far, I've had at least 5 different people, roofers, gutter guys, and handymen, turn down the job of repairing it as either it's too small or too dangerous. What would you recommend?
Well, find somebody that wants the job. It's not, if you got a tall enough ladder, it isn't that hard of a job. You know, I would call some small contractors and some younger contractors, because they'll, you know, if you want to work. I remember I used to just cut doors off after people would have their carpet put in homes. If nobody wanted to do it, but you made just as good of money and you got fed a lot better too.
Promise a good recommendation,
yes,
and maybe.
That's right. I would go out and find somebody that's hungry for work, because somebody will do it.
All right. And this one's from Jeff in Boone. He wants to know what the best kind of roof for an A-line house would be, or an A-frame.
Oh, an A-frame?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, probably, you know, there again, I think a metal roof would be really good on an A-frame. You know, not too many A-frames around anymore. They were pretty popular there for a while. The one thing you do want to remember, though, on metal roofs is, you know, usually on A-frames, the reason they were made that way is, you know, they're basically made from the mountains for heavy snow loads. That's what they're good for. And you would tend to see a lot more A-frames with metal roofs anyway because of the pitch. Because when you get that steep, a lot of times asphalt shingles, the wind will pick them up and rip them right off anyway. They're not made for a wall. They're made for a roof. So on an A-frame, it'd definitely be a metal roof.
All right. Glenn is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Had a question about, we have an old farmhouse in the country, and with metal siding, steel siding that was put on in the 50s. And our contractor wants to paint that, and we're concerned about the paint bubbling off. And what luck do people have painting steel siding?
A lot better than the aluminum, it seems like. It's all in the prep work, again. If the siding contractor is a very good professional, has background in it, I wouldn't be too worried about it. But it is that prep work. You know, it'll probably be a commercial grade type paint. But I would ask for references in your case and go back and take a look and see how long that they've been doing this. And I would, if their local supplier, to the paint to them, you know, I'd go back and ask the supplier as well. Say, you know, is this paint going to hold up? You know, for 20 years on this steel siding that we put on in the 50s, I really want to know.
The siding appears to be in good condition. What are you talking about in terms of prep work? Is there something that has to go over?
Well, there may be, on, you know, because I'm not sure exactly what kind of finish they had on there before, but, you know, they will have to be able to get a bonding system going there. You either have to super clean that steel and then have a bonding coat that, so the new paint will adhere, you know, to that steel. If there's any, you know, like they call it crazing, if there's any dust, if there's any, there may be a very, you know, minuscule amount of rust that you don't see. So that's why hopefully, you know, as a professional, they'll know exactly what they have to do to be able to make the new paint adhere to that. You know, we're talking, what, 60-year-old metal, and there probably could be some corrosion there.
All right, Glenn, thanks a lot for your call. And last call of the day, Nate is on the line in West Des Moines. Hi, Nate.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Yes, we're actually getting away from roofing here a little bit. I'm actually going to be spending my first spring as a homeowner right now. And we've got, ever since we got all the rain a few weeks back, our sump pump seems to be running more frequently than I imagined a sump pump should run.
Okay.
It probably runs maybe once or twice an hour for about 10 or 15 seconds. It's pumping water out. We've got a hose that runs away from the house, but it continues to pump water. Any suggestions there?
Well, really, this as wet as this year has, that really isn't too bad. A lot of people.
You're lucky it's been running.
Yeah, you really are. A lot of people, theirs are just running consistently, and they're just praying that it keeps up. That really isn't too long. You may want to make sure that yours has a back check valve on it, so the water that goes up in the pipe can't come back into the pit, and get that hose farther away, at least 50 feet away from your basement. That may help you too, mate.
All right, Nate, thanks a lot for your call. And Bill McAnally, thank you very much.
Thanks, Charity, for having me today.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, he'll be back again next month. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Ben Stanton, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.